For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, April the 14th, 2001. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting. Dr. Null of Salina, Kansas, is the teacher of the afternoon.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Will you all stand with me in prayer?
Lord Jesus.
Lord, just come, Lord Jesus. We come before you now, Lord, and we ask for an outpouring of your Spirit, Lord. As we open your word, Lord, make it life to us, Lord. Make it life by your anointing, Lord God. Touch it, Lord God. Touch us, Lord, that we can hear the reading of your word, Lord. It'll go down into our inward parts and become life to us. Only you can do this, Lord. We praise you and bless you and glorify you. For you, in you there is life, Lord. We thank you and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Brother Pittman, the first day he was here, he talked about certain conditions that was passed down through the family line. When I first came into medical school, we were taught that certain conditions were called familial, which means they passed down through family lines, and that we were taught to take a history, a family history, and write down the different conditions that grandma, we had a list of conditions we asked about your grandparents and your father and your mother and your aunts and your uncles, all of your first degree relatives. And from that, we could look and see what we could expect to happen to you. And then when I came into deliverance, I found that I could take the same history and I could sit down and look at the symptoms and take Mary Garrison's book on By Their Fruits You Shall Know Them, and I could tell you the kind of demons you had in you and the kind of demons that were passed down through your family line. And so I thought that was very interesting. I remember this physician once told me, he said, Bill, when you look at heart attacks that run in families, that's what God was talking about when he said the infirmities of the father shall pass to the children, to the third and the fourth generations. And that was before I was saved. Now, you have to understand, I was raised in church. My mother was saved. My father eventually got saved. But I was a heathen until I was in my late 30s. I professed Christianity, but I did not know him. And so after I came to know him and after I came in deliverance, I began to study on diseases that were followed down family lines. And so I want to show you this in Scripture and talk to you about it and talk to you about some of the things that are passed down in family lines. Let's look first at open your Bible to Exodus chapter 34. In Exodus chapter 34, Moses is getting ready to go back up on the mountain and take with him two new tablets that he has cut so God can rewrite the Ten Commandments on them. And in verse 5, then the Lord descended in a cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now, remember that a name in Hebrew proclaims its nature. If you look at what the name means, you know the nature of the thing it's called. And so he proclaimed a name, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in truth and goodness, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. And then in the King James it says, by no means clearing the guilty. Now, if you've got a New American Standard or a New International, and get away from the old English, it says, by no means leaving the guilty unpunished. by no means leaving the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. That is the nature of God. And you say, well, where else does it say that in the Bible? Well, it says that in Exodus 20, 4-6. It says that in Numbers 14, 18. It says that in Deuteronomy chapter 5. It says that in Jeremiah 32:18. It says that in Amos 4:2. It says that in Lamentations 5:7-18. And so, it's pretty much through the Bible that he will visit the requisition, the iniquities into the, of the parents into the bosom of the children, to the third and fourth generation, for most things. For incest, illegitimacy, it says for 10 generations. 10 generations. Let me show you a practical outworking of that in the Bible on the incest. You know that when Jacob prophesied to his children, when Israel, or Jacob, prophesied to his children, he said that the kings would come out of Judah. And he says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah till Shiloh come. Y'all all remember that? It's in Genesis chapter 49. Is anybody in here not familiar with that verse? Well, let's look it up. There are folks looking at me like I got two heads. Look at Genesis chapter 49, chapter 49, yeah. And it says here, 8, Judah, you are he whom your brother shall praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp. For the prey of my son you have gone up. He bows down, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion who shall rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet till Shiloh comes. And as it goes on from the two verses. Okay. That is the prophecy that said the kings would come out of the tribe of Judah. The first king of Israel did not come from the tribe of Judah. He came from Benjamin. And I said, well, Lord, why is that? Why did the first king come from the tribe of Benjamin? Now, I wish I had been smart to figure this out. I was not. Derek Prince. No, Derek Prince figured it out in some one of his tapes. If you look over here in Genesis chapter 38, I think it is. Yes. Is the story. I won't read all of that. But is the story of Judah. Judah married a Canaanite woman, had three boys by her. First one was so wicked he died, and he left a wife that had no children. And so by Hebrew law, she passed to the second son. But he spilled his seed on the ground because he didn't want his children to bear his brother's name. That angered God, so God struck him dead. The younger boy was still a little young, and so Judah said, you go home and live with your father, and when the older boy grows up, I'll call you back. And then you got to thinking, you know, she killed two of my boys died married to her. So I only got one left. And so he married her off, him off, to some other woman. And so Tamara saw that she wasn't going to come back. She knew that Judah was going out to shear his sheep, so she sat by the road and dressed like a prostitute, put a veil over her face, and she seduced the old man. And when it came, he asked for a pledge, she took his signet ring and his staff as a pledge when he was going to send back a goat, but then she disappeared, never got the goat. She kept the signet ring and the staff, and was found that she was pregnant by Hadad. Judah said, bring her out and burn her. And so she sent the staff and the signet ring and said, I'm pregnant by this man. And so he took her in and she had two sons by incest. And the oldest was Perez. And so now, With that in mind, let's go over and look at the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1. In the second verse, Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judah and his brothers. And Judah begat Perez and Zerah by Tamar. That was his daughter-in-law. So they're the children of incest. That's the first, and Judah's the first generation. And then you just keep right on counting down, and you'll find David is the 10th generation. And he says that that curse ran out with David. It says that children of incest shall not come before the presence of the Lord until the 10th generation. That's the reason it had to be from the tribe of Benjamin and not from the tribe of Judah, because Judah was under the curse of incest. Count it out. It's there. There's a practical outworking in God's law, in God's word, that you can see. I always thought it was interesting there are three women listed in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And you look at it, you say there's Tamar, she was incest, and you come on down here, and there's Rahab in verse on verse 5, and she begot Boaz and she was a prostitute, ran a house, a brothel in Jericho, and she begot Boaz, and Boaz married Ruth, who was a Moabitess, children of incest. And Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king, and David begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Doesn't even mention Bathsheba's name, but says, there's a woman by adultery. And so the women, you see the great grace and love of our Lord Jesus Christ for women. The women he mentioned were the sinners that he had brought in. Great sin. Always thought that was interesting. They were the women that he mentions in the genealogy. No other women are mentioned. Thank you, Lord. So, we have these curses that will go for 4 generations or 10 generations. But what kind of curses are we talking about? Well, we're talking about all kind of curses, all kind of things. The curse of the law. Now, there are lots of different curses, and I will go through 2 or 3. But first, I want you to praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's look first at Hosea. And this is one of the curses that this nation is under right now. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you rejected knowledge, I reject you for being a priest over me. Because you've forgotten the law of the Lord, of your God, I will forget your children. The more they increase, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. We just finished a time when those people who had sensitivity felt shame for this nation. Our glory was changed to shame. Public shame. If you didn't feel any shame, you didn't have any sensitivity. If you didn't feel shame, sorrow for our nation. You know, when the election was going to be held 8 or 9 years ago now, my pastor's wife asked me what was going to happen, and I told her I didn't know. God hadn't revealed it to me. And I went home that night, and I lay on my face, and I just wept before God. And I said, Lord, what is going to happen? And I told everyone, you know, that it was a time for Christians to stand up and be counted, because we had someone who was openly against the Christian life, openly for abortion, openly for perversion, a strong supporter of it. And we had a man who was somewhat more godly. And so I said, you know, you can stand up and be counted. And I was laying on my face, and I asked God what was going to happen. And he said the nation would get what it deserved. And I really wept then. And I said, God, don't give us what we deserve. Give us grace. Grace! And we got shame. Our glory was changed to shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on iniquity. They will be like people, like priests, so I'll punish them from their ways and reward them for their deeds. They shall eat and not have enough. And so, the first thing is, he's going to reject you from being a priest. Second thing, you'll forget your children. Third thing, your glory will be turned to shame. Fourth is, you're going to eat and not have enough. That's gluttony. You shall commit harlotry and not increase. That's sterility. The average instance, the average number of infertile couples has doubled in the last 20 years. Harlotry, wine, and new wine enslave the heart. Now that's whoredom. Now that whoredom is sexual whoredom, sexual sin, and whoring after other gods. The word means both things. Now, you have to understand that in primitive pagan religions, it is entwined with sexual immorality. The Canaanite religion that was such an abomination to God was a fertility religion. They worshipped the bull for his potency. They would say the golden calf, what they had was a big bull. The bull was known for his strength, his power, and his fertility. And so they made sacrifices to the fertility god. And they had sexual orgies for the fertility god. And they had male and female prostitutes in the temple. And they were called zonites. And you made an offering to the god, and you got to sleep with one of the zonites. You may have to, and then you got to perform a fertility rite with one of the Zonites. The temple at Ephesus had 2,000 temple prostitutes to support it. You remember, and God says, "You shall not bring the price of a harlot or the price of a dog into the temple." He said, "I don't want money from prostitution. That's defiled money. I don't want it. Don't bring it into my house." You're all familiar with that. Why? Because that was the practice of the heathen. You go into other religions and you'll find that. You find that in Hinduism. You find that in Buddhism. Did you know that? Do you know the reason that the only temples that you see in India, that you see on television and National Geographic, are Muslim temples? You don't see any Hindu temples? Because they have fresco after fresco after fresco of statues depicting every type of sexual act imaginable, starting at the lowest kind of bestiality all the way up to everything. And this is carved in granite that the chief god in the Hindu temple is a phallic symbol. A big granite male sex organ that they garden with flowers and they pour milk offerings over it and they worship it. Nobody ever told you that about Hinduism, did they? All right, yeah. Go to yoga. That's what you're asking into your life. Go to yoga. Go to acupuncture. Go to reflexology. That's all Hinduism. Transcendental meditation. That's all Hinduism. That's the God complex you're asking into your life. Buddhism is an offshoot of Hinduism. Some of the Muslims have thousands of. If you read the Quran, that is not described in the Quran. But when you get away into Islam, you see all of this stuff creeping in. Somewhat like you see in Christianity when you go in some portions of the world where they have wedded Christianity to native religions. That's the abomination to God. It's called syncism. Syncism, a joining together. And that's what they did in the Bible. They joined the worship of Baal with the worship of Yahweh, or Jehovah, in Cana, in Israel. And that's the thing God got so upset with them over and finally brought them into judgment and hauled them away. And so this decorum he speaks of. Whenever you go into a foreign god, you not only go worshiping other gods, you find yourself drawn into sexual perversion because it all goes together. And so, the sins of the fathers brought about, these are the curses that are brought about by, number one, following this foreign religion that brings you in to sexual perversion. Okay, let's move on now. So you got harlotry, wine, and new wine enslave the heart, brings you into bondage. Okay, and he says, my people ask counsel from their idols. That's the idolatry. What are they doing? He asks counsel from the idols. A staff informs them. Now, what's a staff? It's a divination rod. It's sort of like spin the bottle. Y'all ever play spin the bottle? That's what that is. That's divination. That's spin the bottle. Well, you got the divination staff that you spin. Or you put it on a thing, and it's going to tilt to the right, it's going to tilt to the left. Tilts to the right is yes, to the left is no. You spin it and see where it stops. That's a divination rod. I told you about the young lady who was practicing divination over the pregnant lady holding up the gym clip. Y'all remember that yesterday? Well, what she did, anybody pregnant came in, she took a gym clip and straightened it out, hung it up on thread, and hold it up over them. And if the thin end pointed to the head, it was to the feet, it was a boy, to the head, it was a girl, or vice versa, I can't remember exactly. But I went in, everybody was around watching, she was always right, she can always tell. And I said, that's divination, like the water witching. Anybody know what dowsing or water witching is? They hold up the stick and watch it turn, and that stick will turn down of its own power. Brother Williams walked along beside the man. He said, now, and the stick turned down. And he said, turn, and he walked around the stick, and he said, now, and the stick turned down. So you know what's happening? He said, there's a big demon walking on the side, and every time he reached out to put the stick down, I say, now. Praise God. Because there's some people who do that and claim it is a gift from God. They just don't know what God. The kids go to I didn't really talk about this much yesterday. Kids go to slumber parties and they play levitation. They play Mary Worth. Don't know what Mary Worth is. Stand in front of the mirror and say, Mary Worth. Say 13 times, demon appears in the mirror. And the demon might come out and go into you, too. Lee Newstrom tells the time in Minnesota where the demon came out of the mirror and went out and played the piano, which is not a big thing. All the spiritualist churches have a demon that will play the piano for them. And then he went into one of the girls. She was 14, 15 years old, and she got up immediately and ran away. And they couldn't find her. And for 2 years, she stayed in the roughest part of Minneapolis. She attached herself to a pimp down there, and she became a prostitute. And her parents would say, yeah, I saw Mary on the street. And they try to find her, and they find her. And so finally, the church came to fasting and prayer for 3 days, and God brought her out. And they prayed for her and delivered her. And she got delivered. She said when that thing came into her, she felt like she trained all of her life to be a whore. And she left immediately, went out. And the only problem was that nobody in the church let that girl near their children. She'd been a whore on the street for 2 years. I don't want her near my daughters. The family had to pack up and move to another city and start over again. Isn't that sad? Okay, let's see him. And so we said, a wooden staff informs them. You know, the Ouija board? Okay. The spirit of whoredom has caused them to stray. They have played the harlot against their God. They offer sacrifices on the mountaintops. They burn incense on the hills. You know what playing the harlot is? What is a harlot? Now, the word harlot is used in all of Shakespeare's plays. And dear sweet Miss Rhodes said, now, what is a harlot? Now, I think that's a strumpet, isn't it? What is it? And, of course, old Billy says, Miss Rhodes, a Webster's New International Dictionary defines a harlot as one who engages in sexual intercourse for pay. She said, thank you very much, Billy. Let's go on. God bless you if you laughed at a dirty word in Miss Rhodes' English class. I mean, she's getting you alive. But a harlot is one who indexes, A whore is one who is sexually promiscuous. A harlot is one who engages in intercourse for pay. And she said, you've been a harlot, which means you've gone up and you have sacrificed expecting for something in return, expecting the gods to bless you. Okay? You burn incense on the hills. Because the ore, because the oaks and the poplars and the terrapins, because their shade is good. Therefore, your daughters commit harlotry, and your brides commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit, become harlots, nor your brides when they commit adultery. For the men themselves go apart with harlots. They offer sacrifices with the ritual harlot. And so what's happened is the men are leading the way to the whorehouse, which is called a temple. And their wives and their daughters are paying a price for it. Hear that, man? That's what it says. Y'all read it that way? Okay. That is the curse of whoredom. And it comes down from following other gods, from being involved in the occult. That's what happens. And so, when you have a perverse spirit in the house, now what is a perverse spirit? A spirit of perversion. It is one that will lead you into all types of sexual perversion. Homosexuality, harlotry, to be a whoremonger or a whore, to be a flasher, to be a pedophile. You all know what a pedophile is? Yeah, that's one who molests children. Pedia meaning children, phile meaning love. They lead you into bestiality, sex with animals. That's a perverse spirit. And so if you've got somebody who's been into the occult in your immediate past, then this perverse spirit can come into your family. And it won't hit everybody. He'll hit one hen, one hen, one hen, one hen, one hen. And so that's the reason you will have someone who says, I've been a woman trapped in a man's body all my life. I've known him since I was 4 years old. Because it came in the womb because of the curse of whoredom. Because your grandfather was a mason. Your mother was in the Eastern Star. You were a Mormon. Jehovah's Witness, to name a few. You were engaged in card laying. It can cause spiritual blindness. Irma tells a story that her great-grandmother was in a tea leaf reader. And Derek Prince looked at Irma and said, you're under the curse of a fortune teller. And he broke the curse on her. And she said she could see clearer. Like a bell jar had been lifted off of her. Went back home and asked, and yeah, her grandmother had been a card layer or a tea leaf reader or something. And so these are part of the curses that can come from whoredom. It's called the curse of whoredom. It brings in perverseness and rebellion. It brings in perverseness. It brings in rebellion. And it opens the door. Perverse spirits are very strong and powerful spirits. Now, as I told you yesterday, these demons are like dogs. Some of them are little feist dogs and come out and bite you. Perverse spirit, it'd be the Rottweiler, the Doberman Pinscher, the pit bull of the spirits. These tough spirits, mean spirits. Okay. Bring in all the spirits of the Hindus, all those yoga spirits, all those Kundalini spirits, all those up and down spirits. You get into and those things tend to reproduce themselves. And they're presented like the horoscope. Now, what looks as harmless as reading a horoscope? Except it's forbidden by God's Scripture because you're seeking knowledge apart from God. What seems so harmless about going to a psychic who's going to give you advice? A psychic counselor. I think they're called. And she's going to take some cards and she's going to turn them. And she's going to, and she's going to look at them and she's going to read them for you and tell you what you're supposed to do. Nothing except forbidden by God. That's all. just brings you under a curse, that's all. There's nothing wrong with it. God said, I want you to ask me. You're my children. I'm your father. I want you to come to me for advice. I want you to come to me for wisdom and knowledge. I put all wisdom and all knowledge in my Son. And the Holy Spirit will take from that and give to you. So, come to me. That's what's wrong with it. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Now let's look at another curse. Let's look at Psalm 109. I don't talk about this one very often, but let's look at it. David, him, he said, in return for my love, they are my accusers, but I give myself to prayer. Thus they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. And then passed, then Psalm 109, verse started with verse 4 and 5, and then starts the most complete, perfect curse in the Bible. Witches read this curse because it covers everything. You know that you can curse people out of the Bible? You can curse people out of the Bible. You can read these imprecatory prayers over people. I had a young man in my Bible school, in my Bible class, and he brought me this book he'd bought. And it told how to get your way. And how you build your altar, and what color candles you use, and what Bible verses you quote. And it was actually the sorcerer's handbook on how to use the Bible to curse people. And people say, it's in the Bible, it's all right to use it. No, it's not all right to use it if you're trying to bend people to your will. If you're trying to bend people to your will, you're in witchcraft. That is called soulish prayers. I mean, wherever there is selfish ambition, self-seeking, there's envy and self-seeking or selfish ambition. Confusion and every evil thing will be there. This wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly, soulish, demonic. That's James 3, 13 and 14. Let's read that. Let's look at that. Put your, keep your finger here in Psalms. Let's go over to James. Now, lots of people use James is after Hebrews. As Hebrews, as James, as 1 Peter, back a little bit. Verse 13, 14. If you have bitter envy and selfish seeking or selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend but from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. Now you see that word sensual? That is the Greek is soulish. There's no such word as soulish in English. If you get one of these big Webster's dictionaries, you can't find soulish in it. It's there in the Greek. It's there in the Latin. It's there in German, I think. But it's not in English. And so it is, whenever you see that word in the King James, it is translated sensual or natural. It says the natural man does not discern the things of God in Corinthians. It's the soulish man. The psuche man. Psuche is Greek for soul. The Latin word is psyche. Y'all all heard of psyche. Psychologist, psychiatrist. That's psychology. Psychology is a science of the soul. Psychiatrist is doctor of the soul. Okay? But the Greek word is psuche. That confused me for a while until my son explained it to me. I was trying to make it make sense to me because I couldn't pronounce it anyway, and I heard other people pronouncing it this way, and I'd never pronounced it that way, and so I asked my son, who speaks about six languages and reads Latin and Greek and Hebrew, and I said, please explain. He said, well, it's very simple, Dad. One's Latin and one's Greek. I said, oh, thank you. All right. This wisdom is earthly, soulish, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exists, confusion, every evil thing will be there. But then he goes on to tell you about the wisdom from above. And so, people, whenever you pray prayers that try to control or impose your will on somebody else or for selfish gain, you're praying what is commonly called soulish prayers. And that's charismatic witchcraft. It has demon power. There it is. It has demon power. I've had people come to me and ask me to pray with them that so-and-so will marry them. So I've been praying that God will make her so uncomfortable she can't sleep at night and keep me on her mind all the time until she marries me. I said, well, you realize that you're into witchcraft. I said, what you're trying to do is impose your will on her. And that is witchcraft. That's ungodly. I said, you're putting yourself under a curse. And you need to repent of it. He didn't listen to me. Praise your Lord Jesus. Okay. And so, then it goes on, and this is what happens when you return good for evil. Proverbs says that if you return evil for good, someone has been good to you, and you return evil back, it says evil will not depart from their house. Isn't that frightening? Evil will not depart from their family. Well, what will happen to them? It says, let him be judged and found guilty. Let an accuser stand at his right hand, starting with verse 6. Set a wicked man over him. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is judged, let him be found guilty. Let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few. Let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, his wife a widow. Let his children continually be vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also from the desolate places. Let a creditor seize all he has. Let strangers plunder his labor, that there be none to extend mercy to him, nor there be any favor to his fatherless children. Let his prosperity be cut off in this generation, and following his name be let out. Let his iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord, and let the sin of his mother not be blotted out. Let them continually be before the Lord, and so forth, and so forth, and so forth. That is the most horrible thing to read. I don't even like to read it. And they said, so be it up these curses in your behalf. So don't. And they use this as an excuse to send curses back. It says on down there, there is a clear reading that you can send curses back. And a number of people said, use this to send curses back. I say to you this, there is a place for imprecatory prayer, but you need to be very, very, very careful. Because if you're sending it back for revenge, it'll come back on you. You better look at your heart, and you better say, Lord, and in God, it better say, you do this. Because there's some people that are professional witches who are cursing innocent people, and maybe God might have you send those back. But I say this to you, be very careful about that sort of thing. You send the love of God into people's hearts. The Bible says, bless, don't curse. Okay. But that is the vagabond curse. And that is the curse for returning evil for good. You see these homeless people that are wandering through the shelter. They go from place to place. They never be able to establish a job. This is the curse of poverty comes from this. The man who's got a good education gets a job but just can't ever seem to make it go. He's always in debt. Dad stole the money and ran off with it. Took the money and left and never paid him back. And I said, well, where's the money now? He said, it's the foundation of this business I'm ruining. He said, I'm using now. It's the foundation. He said, well, send it back. Well, I can't do that. But yet, he was constantly having to move around. He eventually became bankrupt. He eventually lost it all. So this is a curse that's come down from returning evil for good. Now let's look at we'll take just a few more minutes here. And look at the curses that brings, these are the curses of the Lord now. And let's look at these in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now I want to say this to you. If you're a Christian, you be the seed of Abraham. Do y'all all understand that? If you be in Jesus Christ, you be the seed of Abraham because Jesus Christ sent the spirit of adoption into your heart. And Jesus had redeemed you into his family. Family of God, the seed of Abraham. That says very plainly in Galatians
chapter 3, verse 21. If you be in Jesus Christ, you be the seed of Abraham. Well, your seed stood on Mount, and your ancestors stood on Mount Ephraim and said, Amen, so be it. And so let's look at 28 here now. Deuteronomy chapter 20. It shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to carefully observe all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now, he didn't say you obey the law, you obey his voice. Blessed you shall be in the city, blessed you shall be in the country, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks, blessed shall be your basket, your kneading alone, blessed you shall be when you come in, blessed you shall be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you in one way and flee in seven. The Lord will command a blessing on you and your storehouses and all that you set your hand to. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. He will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he sworn to you, and if you keep the commandments of the Lord and walk in his ways. And on it goes, except for 14 verses. It promises to bless you in all ways. And it says if you can't move down the road fast enough to get away from them, they will overtake you as you go down the road. I mean, you don't have to go looking for them. They're going to come out and catch up with you. What it says. But if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, that's your conscience, as the Holy Spirit speaks to you and witnesses to you that you shouldn't do these things, and it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to carefully observe all his commandments and statutes which I command you today, all these curses. Cursed shall be you in the city, in the country, in your basket, your needle bowl, the fruit of your boy, the increase of your flocks and offspring. You shall be cursed when you come in, cursed when you go out. The Lord will send cursing, confusion, and rebuke you at your hand until you are destroyed and you perish quickly because of the wickedness of things. The Lord will make the plague cling to you, and he's consumed you in the land. He will strike you with consumption and fever and inflammation and scorching, burning fever and the sore and the scorching and the mildew. And on and on. I went through this one day for Brother Glenn, and I wrote down all the diseases that I could pick out of that, and it covered every disease organ. And he said, those are the diseases that he sent on the people in Egypt. He said, I am the Lord God that healeth thee. And I will send none of the diseases that I sent on those in Egypt. And the curses will go on for 67 verses, or 64 verses. A long time. 68 verses. And but there is hope. He says when you come back to him, Jesus was made a curse for you, that you might be delivered from the curse of the law. And these curses might be broken over you. In Galatians 3:13, it says, Jesus was hung on was cursed because he was hung on the tree for your sake. He became a curse for you that you might be delivered from all of this. You don't have to have these things passed down through your family line. You can break the curses. You can stop it. That's the promise of Jesus Christ. That's grace. On the law, there was no grace. You see it there. The king didn't come out of Judah for 10 generations because of that incest. But now there's grace. And God says, I'll break that curse on you. He prophesied that in Jeremiah when he said, no longer shall it be said in the land that the children's teeth are set on edge because the parents have eaten bitter grapes. No one shall die for someone else's sin. I claimed that one day. I had a child who was a premature child that we had under CPAP, which was, we had little prongs in his nose, and we were pushing the air in under pressure to hold his lungs open, and we were having to draw a lot of blood out to do blood gases to make sure that the oxygen level didn't go too high so he wouldn't go blind. And we were taking blood out of him at an extraordinarily fast rate. We don't do that anymore. We have better machines now. But this was
20 years ago, and they were Jehovah's Witnesses. And I said, we need to give him some blood because we're about to bleed him dry. And they said, no, we couldn't give him any blood. And it was on the weekend, and I couldn't find the county attorney to get a court order. And I called Brother Williams and talked to him, and Brother Williams said that, you know, he said, these people aren't Christian, doctor. I don't really have any grounds to approach God with this baby. And I said, Brother Williams, I can't accept that. And I wept before God, and he gave me that verse. And I saw it twice. It's both in Ezekiel and in Jeremiah, and he gave it to both places. And I said, well, in that case, Lord, since the children's teeth will not be set on edge, and this child will not die because of the sin of his parents, I claim this child, and I claim that promise for this child, and I rebuke this hyaline membrane disease, and I rebuke this immaturity of his lungs, and I rebuke this anemia, and I command it to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. And about 10 minutes later, the phone rings. Nurse said, you know, strange things happen. Said, I'm cutting the oxygen back. I got him on room air, and he's still. Said, I've been taking his blood gas down. And said, so we drew another blood gas on him. I sent a hemoglobin back. His hemoglobin's back up to normal, and he's on room air. And he said, I've never seen anybody get fail that fast. I said, well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, I'd like to say that I could do that over every one of them, but it didn't happen that way. I still prayed for every one of them, but I tell you, I got a miracle that day. And God showed me. I said, God, this child has done no bad. He has never done anything bad. And as you said, that his teeth shall not be set on edge because his parents have been sinful. And I claimed that child. And God set him free. God set that child free. And I said, suffer. You said, to such as these belong the kingdom of God. Now, I said a lot of other scripture that day. I don't know, God gave me a lot of scripture when I started praying. I mean, I got a lot of scripture to claim for children. I wish I'd written them all down, but I didn't. And God honored it. He gave me the prayer, and he honored it. Praise the Lord. And when the word of God goes out of your mouth, he'll honor it. When the word of God goes forth, it shall not return void, but he shall honor it. And he gave me that prayer that day. It was his word. Praise the Lord. Now, and so you see, there's just all kind of things there. Now, in the sins of the fathers, in Leviticus 18, you'll see all the sexual sins laid out. And he says, you know, and he speaks of all sorts of things. And one of the real problems I have today, I hope I don't offend anyone, is oral genital sex. Because there's so many people who will tell me, where is that in the Bible? Because it's very prevalent in Christians. We have a number of pastors who will teach that it's okay. And they will give you interpretations out of Song of Solomon. Now, I've had a lot of people send me books, of various books of Song of Solomon, where it's been interpreted. And I say, yeah, you let me interpret the Bible. Give me that much liberty to interpret the Bible. I can make it mean anything. But I say to you that you're all created in the image of God. And ain't nothing godly about oral genital sex. Now, I could get very crude and say, you ain't nothing godly. With men, I get right pointed, but I won't in the mixed crowd. There's nothing godly. There's nothing about oral genital sex is godly. It is not a godly. There's not a godly image to it. And you're not supposed to act like animals. And that's the way animals clean the sexual organs before they have, before breeding. And you're not supposed to act like a dog or a cow. Well, I'm sorry. I get real. I have to be careful. I'm going to offend somebody. But you're not supposed to act that way. And it is not godly, and it bears a curse from God. And if you have been involved in that, you've been involved in sex during your period, during your menstrual period, you've been involved with blood relatives, it also forbids homosexuality. Okay. All those things are forbidden by God, and it brings a curse from God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. I just thank you and praise you and bless you, Lord. Bless your people like that. Lord, touch your people now. Touch your people like that. God, in the name of Jesus, touch your people. Now all the people hear this tape, Lord, I ask you to touch them, Lord, that they don't be offended in the name of Jesus. But they hear it. They hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to them. He's saying, be godly. Honor my image in the name of Jesus. Honor my image. Call out to me and I will hear you in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Now, I say to you this. Jesus says that if you have observed pornography and have lusted after someone in your heart, and that's what the idea of pornography is for, and if you've done that, you're guilty as having committed the act. I work with lots of young people. In this culture, they fall. But I work with a lot of greedy folks, too. And they are just as guilty. But they don't seem to think so. They like to point their finger at the other person. But the Lord Jesus Christ loves you, and He chased after. Oh, God. Hosea's wife's name was, I can't remember that. What?
Gomer.
He chased after Gomer and brought her back. Chased after her and brought her back because he loved her that much. Don't you condemn somebody because they fall. You love them with the love of God and draw them back into the fellowship and love them and support them. That doesn't mean you got to encourage them in sin, but you don't condemn them. Praise God. May God bless all the talebearers and the gossips, Lord. Oh, God, bless them. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord God. Touch all the talebearers and all the gossips and all the finger pointers of this world, Lord, who point to other people's sin. And help them get the mote out of that beam out of their own eye, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Praise and bless you, glorify you, Lord Jesus. When we started, I tell you, people, folks hurt you, get the mote out of you, get that beam out of your own eye before you start picking at the mote in the eye. You forgive them and pray and give up the hope for revenge and repayment and pray that God will bless them and let God have God's law flow through you to them. You want to get healed. You want to follow God. You don't want anything standing between you and Him so that you can hear His voice, that you won't live in legalism. You know what happens when you don't hear the voice of God anymore? You know what happens when you lose your anointing? One of two things happens to you. You either become very liberal and say everything goes, or you become very legalistic and iron legalism. And all you can do is find fault with everybody and point it out in the book. Both of them are sad states of affairs. One's as bad as the other. Because both of them will lead you into bondage. Open you to demons. The demons will have fun with you. Praise you, Lord God. In the law and legalism, there is no grace. I thank God we are under grace, not under the law. What does that mean? You're under grace. And people say, well, I'm under grace. I'm not under the law. I'm talking too long now. I'm under grace. I'm not under the law. I said, well, what does that mean? Well, you know, I'm under grace. I mean, the law doesn't matter anymore. So where does it say that in the Bible for crying? Well, Paul said, I'm under grace. I'm not under the law. I said, that's right. Means of obtaining righteousness is what Romans 14 says. You will not become righteous by keeping the law. You can't do it. Only person who's ever able to do that was Jesus. He was perfect. You can't do it. That's where grace comes in. God says, I give you righteousness as a grace gift. Jesus Christ is your righteousness. He took your sin that you might have His righteousness. That's why you're under grace and not under the law. You get your righteousness. But the law is still perfect and holy. And it's a guide to your feet and a light to your eyes. So you can behold God. It's something that you can check. When you hear something, you can check it out and see. You can check your revelation by the written Word of God. It's still a light to your lamp to your feet. so that you don't stumble. But it is not a means to obtain righteousness or a means to beat somebody else over the head. You take the Bible, and you beat folks over the head with it. About the only thing I've ever seen a Bible belt was good for, when you used to get a ganglion on your hand, you used to take the big old family Bible and slap it, and you'd rupture the ganglion, and it was called a Bible belt. I'm serious. But you got the big old, big, thick family Bible, and you hit that ganglion back in the hand and broke it. And that was called a Bible belt. And it cured the ganglion. Ganglion is a cyst on a tendon sheath. And praise your Lord Jesus. Well, people, we've been sitting for about an hour and a half, about an hour and 15 minutes now. So let's all stand up and praise God. Does anybody have any questions before we start praying?
Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord Jesus. Let's jump up and down a little bit and get your blood moving. Lord, we praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Say, dear Lord, I love you. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was manifested in the flesh. He died on the cross for my sin. Was raised from the dead for my justification. Ascended to heaven. Sits on the right hand of the Father. Ever to make intercession for me. God is my Father. Jesus is my big brother. I have been accepted in the Beloved. He has given me a new family. I have been freed from the curse of the law. But Jesus was made a curse for me, that I might be delivered from the curse of the law. Lord, your word says in Leviticus 26 that we should repent of the sins of our ancestors and our sins. Lord, I repent. I confess those sins. The sins of whoredom. The sins of returning evil for good. The sins of incest. The sins of fornication. The sins of illegitimacy. And all other sins. Lord, I break all these curses. In the name of Jesus. For it is written in Joel 2:32-31. Anyone calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Lord Jesus, I bind all these familiar spirits that have been assigned to my family line. I break all ungodly covenants made by anyone on my behalf. I break them under the blood of Jesus. I am not married to those demons. That I am married to Jesus Christ. I have been betrothed as the bride of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ annuls the ungodly covenants. I declare myself free from them in the name of Jesus. I bind all familiar spirits, all harassing spirits assigned to my family line. I bind them and command them to be gone now and forever in the name of Jesus. I loose myself from them in Jesus' name. But Jesus, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy, loosen me from the works of the devil. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I declare myself free in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, I confess, Lord, and renounce all the works of the devil, all the occult, in Jesus' name, seeking knowledge apart from you. I bind them, and I cast them out. I bind all witchcraft spirits, all sorcery spirits. In the name of Jesus, I bind them and command them to be gone. I bind all fornication spirits, all perverse spirits. I break them in the name of Jesus. I bind all these spirits over my children. I break their power. I command them to be gone out of the children of God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I bind the perverse spirit, the witchcraft spirit, the fornication spirits. In the name of Jesus, I command them to be gone. The murder spirits, the hate spirits, the hostility spirits, I bind them and command them to be gone. In Jesus' name, go now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I forgive everyone who's ever hurt me, used me, abused me in the name of Jesus. I relinquish all right to revenge. In Jesus' name, I break all ungodly soul ties to anyone who's ever dominated me or controlled me in any way contrary to the will of God. I loose myself from them. I release from myself all foreign soul. And I reclaim my soul. I ask the Lord Jesus Christ to send out the war angels and ministering spirits to break all the containers containing my soul and the ministering spirits to bring it back and to restore my soul according to Psalm 23. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Everybody have a seat now. Lord, I come for these people now, Lord. And I bind the spirits of rejection that have tried to come into them in the name of Jesus. I bind rejection that's come down through the family line. I bind rejection that's come down from mother and father, from aunts and from uncles, from spouses and ex-spouses, from playmates and friends and bosses and jobs. I bind all rejection in the name of Jesus Christ. And I bind it and I command it to be gone. I say these are not rejected children. These are children of the living God. For in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. And He has made us accepted in the Beloved. I bind rejection and I command it to leave now in the name of Jesus. I bind fear. He didn't send us a spirit of bondage again to fear, but a spirit of adoption. We've been adopted. We're not rejected. I bind the spirit of fear. I bind the spirit of fear that came from the Hittite and the Amorite heritage in the name of Jesus. I bind all pride, all fear and terror in the name of Jesus Christ. And I command it to be gone. I command the spirit of, I loosen the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bind the fear of not being loved, fear of not being wanted, fear of not being good enough in the name of Jesus. I bind all fear in the name of Jesus. And I bind all perverseness that would come in, all the perverse spirits, sexual perversion in the name of Jesus, perversion of mind, perversion in the name of Jesus, perversion of will. I bind it in the name of Jesus. I bind all rebellion. Rebellion is of divination and of witchcraft and of magic arts. I break their power in the name of Jesus. I bind all bitterness that comes from rebellion in the name of Jesus. I bind the root of bitterness and I pull it out. I bind anger, rage, and hostility that would come in the name of Jesus Christ. I break its power. I break the power of unforgiveness and loose forgiveness in the name of Jesus Christ. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you. I break the stubborn self-will. I break this power of stubbornness and deception. Stubborn self-will. Deceived self-will. Deception in the name of Jesus. Self-deception in the name of Jesus. Unteachable in the name of Jesus. I bind you. All you unteachable spirits. All you stubborn spirits. All you deceived spirits. I bind you and I break your power and I command you to be gone. In the name of Jesus. I bind all witchcraft now, all divination, all sorcery, all magic arts, all rock music. I break the power of rock music in the name of Jesus. And I command it to leave now. I break the power of the voodoo drums in the name of Jesus. And I say, be gone in Jesus' name. I break the power of drugs, of sorcery, of pharmakamika in the name of Jesus. I break bondage to alcohol, bondage to cigarettes, bondage to pain, bondage to fear in the name of Jesus. And I command you to leave. Leave now in Jesus' name. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. 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 In the name of Jesus, I break the spirits of pride now. I pull down pride in Jesus' name. I break the haughty spirit and I pull it down. I pull it down, I put my foot on its neck in the name of Jesus. And I break it. Leviathan, I put the hook of the Holy Ghost in your nose. Leviathan, I put the hook of the Holy Ghost in your nose. You said, who can put their hook in my nose? Who can penetrate my armor? The Holy Ghost can penetrate your armor. I put the hook of the Holy Ghost in your nose, and the arrows of the Holy Ghost will pierce your armor. And I bind you and I drag you out in Jesus' name, Leviathan, the prince of pride. I break your power and I command you to be gone in the name of Jesus. And I speak healing to this person in Jesus' name. Oh, I bite pride in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus. I bind perfectionism and criticism and the critical spirit and the perfectionistic spirit and the fault-finding spirit. I bind all of those in Jesus' name. Anger, rage, and retaliation. I break the power of heaviness in the name of Jesus Christ. And suicide and heaviness and depression, I bind you and I command you to be gone. And I speak healing and restitution in Jesus' name. I bind the spirits of envy and jealousy and backbiting in the name of Jesus. And I bind the spirits of paranoia and schizophrenia. Schizophrenia, I bind you. Turn God's people loose, schizophrenia. You can't have them. Paranoia, I bind you. You can't have them. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Just leave now. Leave in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. I break your power, schizophrenia. I break your power now. I bind the spirit of whoredom in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of fantasy and sexual fantasy. Fantasy for money. Fantasy for sex. Fantasy for control. In the name of Jesus, I break your power. Fantasy. I break the spirit of fantasy. I break the spirit of masturbation in the name of Jesus Christ. Of self-pleasuring in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the spirits of incubus and succubus. And I bind you, incubus and succubus, and I command you to come out. Come out, incubus and succubus, in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I command you to be gone. Go, incubus and succubus. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Incubus and succubus, I bind you and I break your power. And I break your power in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, I come now. I look at all these people, Lord. And I say, they've been healed by your stripes. You bore all of their sorrow and all of their grief.
You were wounded for their transgressions. You were bruised for their iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was laid of their peace was laid upon you. And by your stripes at the whipping post, they have been healed. I speak healing now. Healing, Lord. They were healed, Lord. They were healed. It is an accomplished fact. They were healed by your stripes. I bind all the spirits of headaches, Lord, of headaches and migraines. In the name of Jesus, I bind the spirits of loss of vision, of macular degeneration in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power of macular degeneration. I break the power of glaucoma in the name of Jesus. I break the power of retinitis pigmentosa in the name of Jesus Christ. And I bind them and command them to leave God's people and I speak healing in Jesus' name. I break the power of aging, of cataracts. I bind cataracts and command them to go and dissolve in the name of Jesus Christ. Cataracts, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak healing to sinus problems in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to sinuses and allergies in the name of Jesus and asthma. I bind the spirits of gingivitis and root canal and carious teeth in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to the carious teeth now. I speak gold fillings in them, Lord God, crowns on them, Lord, that they will know that you have touched their lives, Lord God. I speak healing, Lord, for the carious teeth, for bad teeth now. I speak healing for gingivitis in the name of Jesus Christ. Healing for glossitis. Healing for thyroiditis, Lord God. Healing for low thyroid, for myxedemia and hypothyroid in the name of Jesus. And Hashimoto disease in Jesus' name. I speak healing, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. For Hodgkin's disease, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I speak healing, Lord, for asthma and bronchitis and emphysema in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, for bronchitis, in the name of Jesus. For heart disease, Lord, for congestive heart failure, for high blood pressure. I bind these things and I speak healing to them now in the name of Jesus. I speak healing, Lord, for esophagitis in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak healing, Lord, for duodenitis and ulcers in the name of Jesus Christ. For gastritis, Lord, for Crohn's disease, for enteritis, for colitis in the name of Jesus. For duodenitis, for piles in the name of Jesus Christ. For ulcers and rectal ulcers in the name of Jesus. For praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. For prostatitis, Lord. For cystitis, Lord. For vaginitis, Lord God. For vaginosis, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, Lord. For chlamydia, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. For GC, in the name of Jesus. For herpes, in the name of Jesus. I bind these things and command them to be gone. I bind them in Jesus' name. I break their power in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit, Lord God. I bind the spirits of menorrhagia in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of PMS in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, pour out your spirit, Lord, with grace and mercy in the name of Jesus Christ. Grace and mercy, Lord. Touch your people, Lord God. Oh, Jesus, I bind the spirits of diabetes, Lord, and pancreatitis, and arthritis, Lord, and myositis, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, and chronic fatigue syndrome, Lord, in Jesus' name. I bind the spirits of brain tumors and cancer. I curse the demon of cancer and command it to be gone in the name of Jesus, of leukemia in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you and I praise you and I bless you and I glorify you, Lord. Pour your spirit out, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Touch the arthritics, Lord. I speak healing to back problems now in the name of Jesus. To painful backs, to low back pain, Lord. I speak healing, Lord. I speak to backs. Line up with the Word of God, backs. Line up with the Word of God. In the name of Jesus, line up. I speak neck problems. Line up with the Word of God in the name of Jesus. I break your power, and I speak healing in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to strokes. I bind the spirit of stroke in the name of Jesus. Strokes be gone. I speak healing. I speak restoration to strokes. Frail limbs, withered limbs grow out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you in Jesus' name. You spirit of the withered limb in the name of Jesus. I speak healing and restitution now. Oh, God.
Let your spirit flow, Lord. Let your spirit flow out, Lord. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I bind Alzheimer's, Lord. Jesus' name. Lord, we don't ask for justice, mercy, and grace, Lord. Lord, we want your mercy and your grace. Now let your love flow into your people, Lord. Let the perfect love of the Lord Jesus Christ will drive out all fear. Fear of death. Fear of the devil. Fear of people. In the name of Jesus. Your perfect love, Lord. Your perfect love, Lord. Let flow in now, Lord. Your spirit. Spirit of the living God. Fill them now, Lord. Fill them. Fill them, Lord. Just love flow into them in the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. All God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Has anybody got anything they want bound that we didn't cover? Tendonitis. Tendonitis, I bind you in Jesus' name. I break your power, tendonitis. I break your power. I speak healing and restitution in the name of Jesus. Be gone in Jesus' name. Pain, be gone. Tendonitis, be gone. Healing and restitution. Snoring. In the name of Jesus, we bind snoring in the name of Jesus. Sleep apnea and snoring in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, hallelujah. You said we'll have restful sleep. Peaceful sleep, Lord. We bind snoring in Jesus' name and sleep apnea in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Lord, bless the food now. Lord, we thank you and we praise you and bless you. We ask you to bless the food. Bless those who prepared it, Lord, and those who are about to eat it. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.